We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Today, as I'm sharing, I was sorting after God to say, God, what do you want me to share on today? And he drew to remembrance a subject matter which I think is quite old-fashioned. I don't often hear of it much. It's something which, it's definitely in the Bible because I found it. That's where this word is coming from. But it's not something that I often hear. And I guess the title of my message today is honor. It's honor. The word honor in itself, you know, I was trying to research how do you define the word honor. And to be honest with you, I struggled to really get a succinct way of saying what honor is. You know, I got things like, you know, somebody who is respectable or a respectable thing or a respectable person or something of high esteem, right? Or something which is really honorable. Funny enough, one of the definitions of honor was someone who's honorable. And, you know, I really wanted to say, you know, God, what do you have to say around this area of giving honor and having regard and respect? So I'm just going to jump straight into the scriptures. I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew 13, I won't get through all of it. So just from, I'll be reading from verses 53 to 58. But in essence, prior to these verses that I'm reading, Jesus had been teaching about the kingdom of God. He had been teaching, you know, the kingdom of God is like this, the kingdom of God is like that. And, you know, really exposing the word of God in a way that a lot of people hadn't heard the word of God, right? So I'm just going to start reading now. At this point, Jesus had then moved away from that place where he was teaching. Then he goes back home to his town of Nazareth. And it says, when Jesus had finished these parables, in verse 53, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. And what did they say? They were like, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. And then the others were saying, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? Aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, aren't all his sisters with us? Where and when did he get all these things? And they took offense to him. And then this is how Jesus responded. He says, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home. And here's the result. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. He did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Father God, I thank you for the reading of your word, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that, God, you really give us understanding this morning, God. Father, even as I share this morning, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So interestingly enough, this scenario to me is amazing because prior to Matthew 13, in Matthew 8 and 9, Jesus performed 10 different miracles already at this point in ministry where he was. He had been known to be a great teacher. He was already a rabbi. He was performing miracles everywhere. So some of them including casting out demons. He was healing the paralytic. He had healed the woman of the issue of blood. He had, see, all of these things. And blind men were seeing. This is the men that they were talking about. But then when it came to him returning back to his hometown, although he was full of power, full of clearly an anointed man of God, these people just couldn't receive it. And I know that the result was because of their lack of faith, he did not perform miracles there. But the preceding point that Jesus mentions is that actually, because he's without honor in that place, because they couldn't receive him for who he was, they couldn't then have faith in him. And this way it got me thinking, God, what have you to say then around this area of honor? What have you to say around this area of honor? If you are a God who is amazing and clearly he is worthy of honor, what then happens then within our own lives where we don't put honor or we don't give honor, we don't hold in high regard, we don't hold high esteem where we ought to, okay? So I'm just going to jump straight into my first point. And the first point is this. Honor the Lord to receive his gift. Honor the Lord to receive his gift. Now, what is the Lord's gift? I put that word in apostrophes because God has just got so much that he wants to give to us. He's got so much that he wants to give to us. But then, for us to be able to get to that place whereby we're able to have faith in him, we must also regard him for who he is. We must be able to say, you know what, God, who are you? The mistake that the Nazarenes had in this time is that in their minds, they thought they knew who Jesus was. They thought they understood him. They thought we know all about him, right? In where he was growing up, they would have seen him growing up. They would have seen him play with the other kids in town. They have seen his mom raising them. They've seen his brother and sister. So to them, he's without honor in that place simply because he's not coming from a place which is unfamiliar to them. So and I find that incredible contrast because in verse 54, from where I read, others were saying, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? So these people clearly were coming from a side of honoring God to say, actually, this person, I need to understand, where is he coming from? Where is he feeding from? What is his source? But at the same time, in that same place, other people are saying, no, we know who this person is. But clearly there was a confusion going on because if they really knew who he was, if they really knew who he was, miracles would have happened in that very place. The scripture says that he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. It's not because he did not want to perform miracles. So he did. He says that he did a small amount of miracles there. Jesus had more he wanted to give to the Nazarenes. There was more he wanted to give, but because of the way that they perceived him and misunderstood him for who he is, they could not receive of him. And I guess the prayer points, I'm going to pull out a couple of prayer points that, again, we'll be praying right now, but just for you to take home, is actually to say, you know what? Maybe do we need a reset in understanding who this Christ really is? Maybe we need to pray to ourselves and say, you know what, Jesus, who are you? Not from how we understand him. Historians will tell us all about, you know, who this man lived, and they'll tell you, oh, he's X, Y, and Z. But then that's all the human form of him, which the other Nazarenes will see. What we want to know is the God in him, the divinity of Christ, and who he is. So I'm reading from 2 Corinthians, verses 5 and 16. So this is Paul in the second part. And even Paul says, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. In other words, yes, even Paul himself would have received Christ in a way which is human, in a human form, in saying, oh yeah, where did he grow up? Where is he from? But if we actually look and the Lord opens up our eyes in the Spirit, we start to see Jesus for who he really is. Who he really is. I'm always amazed with the Israelites, because they were so good at identifying who God is. You know, they would call him, you know what, you are El Shaddai, you are God Almighty. They would see him for you. You are Jehovah Jireh, you are my provider. So to us, who is Jesus? Is Jesus just a man who lived and walked and died and rose again? Or actually, is he all these things which we ought to give him honor? Is he all these things that we ought to give him honor? And what I learned was, in the place of giving honor to God and understanding who he is, it then opens up the doorway to actually receive from that. In this very same place, if the Nazarenes had received Christ as a child, as the child of God, as a miracle worker, then they would have had faith in that to then those miracles to be worked within Nazareth. But all because they didn't really hear him, or they didn't receive him in that way, they didn't receive. And here's my second point. If you aren't listening all along, my message is really here, okay? This is the point where I just wanted to make sure we clear off that baseline, just to make sure we get into this part here. The reason why I say that this word is so important to me, because it's transformed my life. It's transformed my life when it comes to this subject matter of giving honor. And my second point is this. It says, honor those God sends your way. Honor those that God sends your way. Jesus says, It's interesting that in response to them asking, who is this man? Jesus responds by saying, a prophet of the Lord is without honor, except in his hometown. In that sense, he's almost third personing. He's saying, you know what? It's not even him. It's you know what? It's a prophet. It's whoever it is. If from their hometown where they're from, they are not regarded, hence why they are without honor. And that means the people there cannot receive what that particular prophet has to give. Now, this principle, I think Jesus in this time was actually giving a lot more to us about how his kingdom works beyond just Christ himself. He was teaching us a principle around how honor works. So here, okay, let me read Matthew 10 and 41. And it says, whoever who welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever who welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. In other words, how we receive people does not change who that person is. The only thing it changes is what you get. So even though the prophet, he would have shared, let's say, a prophecy, whether you want to disregard them as a prophet, it doesn't change who they are. All it means is that the gift that comes out from the prophet, you don't then receive. And this principle goes above and beyond. So in the same way, if you don't receive a pastor as a pastor, you do not receive a pastor's reward, right? And I learned this principle because, interestingly enough, when I was in year 9, I enjoyed my time in school. It was some of the best years of my life. But then there was this one subject which I absolutely could not stand. And it was French, right? And to be honest, it wasn't the subject itself. It was the teacher who was teaching the subject, okay? That lady, oh my days. You know, literally it was like, you know, I had a two-week timetable. And I knew every Wednesday afternoon, it was always like, you know what, my day's ruined because every time I'm going to meet that lady and she's going to ruin my, and you know, so, and then the interesting, okay, so long story short, I can't keep on going about that. You know, I love her with the love of Christ now. I've been delivered from that. Amen. But you know what, but then the strife that was there between me and this French teacher meant that, you know what, I could not understand French. It's really funny. I was talking to some of my brothers here yesterday. I was saying, you know what? I wish I knew French. I've been trying to understand French. I've downloaded Duolingo, but the thing is not downloading into me, you know? And, you know, I've been trying so hard. And God brings me back into remembrance to that time, whereby God afforded this French teacher in my life to understand French. Back then, I thought French was only spoken in France. That was it. You know, so now I start hearing, oh, in pretty much a lot of West Africa, they speak French. In Canada, they speak French. Lots of Europe. I'm thinking, wow, in that moment, I was given availability to be able to communicate to so many different people, but now I can't. Because with that particular teacher, I dishonored her. I could not. Put it this way, our class was always notorious because we used to love to talk. You know, parents' evening, it was always the same message. Oh, Phil is good, but talking. You know, so it was funny because we were all like, you know, we were all, you know, in top set and stuff. But then when it came to this idea of, we would kill the exams, we would do it. But then when it came to talking, we were top of the grade, you know. But in any case, it really taught me that, you know what? Dishonoring someone completely voids you from the gift that they have for you. That French teacher had a gift for me, a gift to be able to understand a language of which now I avoided and not understood. Now, on the flip side, when I first came to uni here in Sheffield, very early on, I met these three girls. And these girls were completely devoted to Christ. They were completely devoted to Christ. And one thing that they used to do was to pray, right? They used to pray so, so much. Yeah, baby Zoe, I'm trying to preach, you know? You know? Anyway, so in any case, these So basically, these girls used to pray so much. And you know what? I used to look at them and I'll be completely dumbfounded to say, you know what? How is it that these young people, 18, 19-year-olds, can pray for hours on end when after a minute or two, I'll be done? I'll be like, you know what? It's a wrap, guys. What are we still talking about? You know? And for me, it was amazing. And you know what? God, in that moment, you know, I'm so glad that God urged me to be connected with them. Because I'll tell you this. This is the interesting thing as well. Giving honor to someone has got nothing to do so much about whether you like them or not. It's more to do about what God put in them that you need in your current season, right? Saying that, I need salvation. There was a girl among that group who I did not like. She just wasn't my cup of tea. She just wasn't somebody who I related with. But I'll tell you this, right? She knew how to pray. She understood how to pray. And, you know, and God would tell me, you know what? Just listen to what she has to say. Just honor her for the gift that is in her, because in that, he was also then to be able to impart upon me the ability to be able to pray, right? And it's interesting because isn't it funny how, I guess, my next prayer point for those making notes is to say, is it the case that we have been pushing people aside who God has sent our way, but because we couldn't recognize what God put in them for us, and hence why we have not received that next level of advancement where we're supposed to go to. I've been tracing back in my life, and you know, it's everything I have learned to do with Christ has always been associated with a person. It's always associated with somebody who God then uses to be able to elevate me and to add unto me and to be able to develop me into becoming the person that I am today. And will continue to send people my way and people who I need to honor in order for us to be able to actually advance. For me, it's the way I ended up coming to SEC. After I was saved, after I'd received Christ, you know, I was on fire for God, you know, for a year or so and more. And I went back home in Coventry for my placement. And I remember my youth leader at the time, and he asked me, he was like, you know, Phil, I see that you are on fire for God. But are you able to replicate and share that with others? And you know, that question for me was so big, and I was like, oh my goodness. In that moment, I realized actually there's somebody who God has put in my life to be able to teach me how to disciple people so that then they can also come to understand who Christ was. And I remember that very same day, I remember on Facebook, I went on, Pastor Anderson, are you still in SEC? You know, because you know, it's amazing that at times, I honestly feel that in the season we're about to enter, God will start to develop us in incredible ways, but because of that familiarity that Jesus also had within his hometown, that we may end up missing the gifts of God that are amongst us here as a church. And then because we dishonor that, because we oversee, like we know that person, you know, we know where they're from. In the same way with me, Pastor Anderson, I knew this man of God understands discipleship. He understands how to go through with someone through a Christian formation. So I was like, and then God told me, you need to go and sit under his feet. And I went there. And it isn't incredible that my ability, I mean, I'm still learning. I think I'm probably like a D-grade student when it comes to discipleship. But, you know, but I'm still learning, you know, I'm still here. You know, so you know, but isn't it incredible that, is it the case that we are missing God's mission for our lives because we are refusing to subject ourselves and give honor to people that sometimes we don't even like? You know, I'm still yet to meet someone who is absolutely perfect in every trait about them you love. That should never pull us away from receiving what God has from people. They're like, oh, there's that about them. But no, it's not that. What you've been sent there to do is to receive the gift that God has put in that person for you. And leads me to this, you know, as I was praying on this point, you know, God revealed to me that, you know what, Phil, one of the things that absolutely destroys honor is gossip. And I refuse to listen to gossip. Reason being, it's a way of the accuser. It's funny, we're singing, you know, we'll overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We'll be overcoming the accuser. Sometimes the accuser, what he wants to do is to destroy the honor you ought to give someone because he's giving you items to accuse that person of. It is a way of destroying what God has in that person for you, because what he's doing is giving you reason why to dishonor that person. Then what happens? You don't receive the gift that comes from giving honor to that person. So we must become a people whereby, in actual fact, we receive people not because of what they are. As I've said, there's no one who's perfect. And I stand here before you and I can admit to you that I'm not perfect. And it's not receiving me for what I am, but it's receiving people for what God has put in them. Who does God say they are? We cannot follow the definition of who people are based on what we see, or based on what we hear of people, or based, and that's exactly what the Nazarenes did. They received Christ from the perspective of who they have seen and who they think they know. But they're not receiving him for who he actually is, who is the God of heaven. If they had seen that, oh my goodness, imagine the advantage of having Christ in Homestead and just being able to knock at his door like, Jesus, my knee's hurting, can you just, you know, do what you do everywhere else, you know, do it for me, you know me, did you know me? We grew up together, I gave you sugar that time. You know, the thing is that, you know, there's that element of, is it the case that we're also doing that with our neighbor today? That we're missing the gift of God that people have put, you know, isn't it amazing? For me, that completely amazes me, and the reason why I think the Lord has just been put this on my heart so much, why I honor everyone, is because it's the Lord who decided, as in the Lord made a decision that you are to be alive today and in this place. When we take ourselves and try to dishonor people, we are taking away from God the fact that he chose for us to be created in here, not us. How can we then challenge God in what he is saying based on what our thoughts are? But then really, even though each one of us here were in his thoughts from the beginning of time. How I pray that we would not destroy each other by the enemy's work. As I've said, I don't think, put it this way, even Jesus himself, he wasn't an easy man to follow, you know. I think a lot of us, actually, if we met Jesus in the flesh, we probably wouldn't have liked him either, you know? He's the type of person who he would turn around to his disciples and say, oh, don't follow me if X, Y, and Z. You know, that's the type of guy he was, you know? But the point is, he was still God in person. And here is my last point. Giving honor calls for humility. Giving honor calls for humility. When I'm looking at that story in Matthew 13, I see pride across the whole thing. I don't think the issue was really about receiving Jesus for who he was. I don't think it was anything beyond the fact that when we compare ourselves with people, especially those that we have seen over the years, you almost want to say, oh, I can do what they do, because you've seen their journey. For some reason, we only ever want to honor people who we have not seen their journey. And then those that we've seen their journey, we choose to say, I want to dishonor them. You disregard them to say, no, Jesus, we know. Jesus, we know how he grew. Jesus, we know where he lived. But then the truth of the matter is, all it is in that whole time, it's just pride. It's pride in our mind to say, actually, I will not receive that person for who they are today because of the fact that we are so prideful of who it is. And I read a quote earlier on this week, and it said this, if I can find it. Hey, this thing's run away from me. Anyway, I'll try to recall it. It says, if a tall person bows down to a short person, they do not lose their height. Man. Isn't that incredible? Sometimes we think just because we want to give honor and respect and give esteem to someone, it means, oh, that's belittled. You know, your height is still exactly the same. You've just been able to actually see an area in your life whereby you're saying, actually, this I need from them. It's nothing to do with belittling you. It's a matter of just being humble enough to say, you know what, God, yes, well and truly, you've given me this person who I need to honor to be able to elevate to where I need to be. Pastor shared an analogy, and I found it so profound, I think 2 weeks ago when he was preaching. And he had said, if there was a child with a flashlight, right? If there was a child with a flashlight, and we're all in a dark room, we would all follow behind the child with the flashlight. And I think this is exactly the same thing when we talk about honor. It's this idea of actually, when there is a gift of God that someone is putting that we ought to honor so that then we receive that gift, then we ought to follow them regardless of what shape or form that person comes within. Now, with the human nature sometimes says, okay, if it's a child with a flashlight, what we'll do is we'll just take the flashlight off the child. You know, we'll take it by force, right? But the issue with that is that you've because of the dishonor that would have been acted in that, in taking that flashlight off the child, is that in 6 months' time, the batteries will run out. You don't know where you got it. The child still knows. Next thing you know, you see the child is still running. You've got a new flashlight because he understands where he got it from. And it's that same thing of actually saying, you know what, with ourselves, we ought to be a people who really learn to discern what God has for us within the people that he is sending our way and not to miss them. Because as we discern who they are and we discern their purpose for us within our lives, we're then able to receive, to understand what God's gift he had put in that person for us to receive. So I'm going to close with this. With a few questions. Is it possible that you're in this moment today, that there are people who Christ has revealed in your life as the people who you ought actually to give honor and to actually listen to what they have to say for a moment, or to be able to understand the instruction that they give so that then you're able to move forward? Is it possible that even with our walk with Christ, as far as we have known him, Jesus was only in ministry for three and a half years, historians say. So that means there were people who thought they knew him for 30 years. And then those who actually knew him only knew him for those 3 years, because they actually understood who he was in his divinity. Is it the case that then within you and I, that what we are seeking to do in the kingdom of God, that is there a missing facet of God that we are not seeing simply because we haven't sought out to say, actually, Jesus, maybe I don't know you in that particular place. Maybe I don't understand you the way that I think I understand you. Maybe there is something that you have for me which I'm not seeing simply because I haven't given room enough to be able to say, actually, you know what? God, there is that element of you that there is that I need from you. He is Jehovah. Jesus is the Lord, our God. I, for one, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God of salvation unto all that those who believe. And I just want us to pray that, God, would you open up my eyes to see you who you really are? I may have walked with you for many years. And as I say, the Nazarenes would have seen him for a very long time. They'd have seen him for a very long time. But unfortunately, completely missed who he was, although he was right there with them. Is it the case that Jesus is saying to us today that he's without honor here because we've known him too long? That we think, you know what, we make our relationship with God so mundane and so kind of, you know, we've done it for so long, we understand the rhythm of what we've done. We understand the tradition of what we've done. That is it the case today that today God is saying, you know what, would you honor me anew? Would you hold me in his high esteem and give him glory and honor the way that he's actually due? Not in the way that we want to have him. So Lord, I pray. Lord, we just want to understand you afresh, oh God. Lord, we want a fresh view of you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to see you for who you really are. Not for what we've seen in the past, not for the long journey, just to be able to say we've had a long journey, but God, to be able to say, actually, Lord, who are you? Who are you, oh God? Lord, we don't want to be trapped in the past of who we thought God was. Lord, we want to be able to identify you by name, to say, you know what, you are Jehovah Nisi, my banner. Are you El Shaddai? Lord, I want to see you as El Shaddai. I want to see you as El Elyon. Lord, we want to see you for who you really, really are. Lord Jesus, I pray for a refreshing, God, and Father, for humility in your house, Lord Jesus. That, Lord, we would not dismiss those that you have privileged to put in our lives, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you have privileged us to be able to walk with you. That you've privileged us, oh God, Father, to be able to go further because you've given them to us in our lives, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray, Almighty God, that Father, pride would not consume us, Lord Jesus, but Father, we would be able to receive of you. And Lord, that we would not destroy each other, God. Father, by using the words of the accuser with our own words, Lord Jesus. Lord, we lean on you. In the mighty and precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.